This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Thursday afternoon, September 12th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. The business group, the Chicago Loop Alliance, says the downtown area is making a comeback. We'll look at what's driving that belief at our next segment. But right now, the weekly tally of jobless claims leads today's data. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. And ever since that July jobs report came in, Gus, there's been a laser focus on the job market, looking for any signs of weakness that could send the economy tumbling into a recession. And so that Thursday morning figure on first-time unemployment claims is, you look for that for surprises, Gus. And what did it tell us today?
There were no surprises there, Rob. We saw claims just about where they were last week. The four-week moving average of claims, which moves out some of the volatility, that only went by 500 compared to where we were last week. So labor market remains in good shape. Layoffs are extremely low.
And what kind of picture does that point of the larger job market? I mean, there's not much in the way of layoffs, but the unemployment rate is ticking higher just a little bit. And the number of new jobs created in on a monthly basis per the household survey is below analyst expectations. So it seems like we have a job market where a lot of companies built up and hoarded talent during the Great Resignation. And even though they're not going to let them go, they certainly aren't going to hire any more.
That's right. What we've seen is layoffs remain at an extremely low level, but hiring has slowed. So businesses are bringing on fewer new workers. The job market is still in good shape. It's not as good as it was last year, but we're still adding jobs. We're still seeing wages rise, and we're seeing job growth that's more consistent with underlying growth in the labor force. So I think the Federal Reserve is happy where the labor market is now. They'd like to see job growth continue at the current pace, and that should allow for slowing inflation, but continued economic growth and low unemployment.
We're talking about today's economic activity with Gus Fauché, chief economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. The producer price index figure for the month of August was released today. That's the wholesale inflation reading. And once again, like yesterday's consumer price index, the numbers we saw were right in line with expectations.
That's right. We continue to see inflation slow. It is moving towards the Federal Reserve's 2% objective. I think we see a quarter of a percentage point rate cut from the Fed when they meet next week. We are headed towards what appears to be that soft landing where we get slowing inflation but continued solid economic growth and a good labor market. And if the Fed is able to pull that off, and hopefully they are, then I think they should be commended for that effort.
Wholesale prices rose 0.2% on a month-over-month basis, the annualized rate in the month of August, if you extrapolated that out 12 months, 1.7% compared to 2.1% the month before. So we have wholesale inflation that is below the 2% target. How is that going to make its way to the grocery store shelf and to the store at home goods in the coming weeks and months?
We're seeing goods prices that are flat to down. So after a surge in goods spending with the pandemic and problems with supply chains, those problems have been fixed. We're, you know, basically buying the same amount of goods as we were a few years ago. So we've seen goods inflation slowing, and in fact, goods prices are falling. Services inflation is a little bit higher, but we're seeing some improvement coming from the housing market, slower rent growth, those types of things. So I think we'll continue to see overall inflation slow in the near term. And, you know, I think it's we're getting to the point where the Fed wants to be and where consumers are feeling more comfortable with what they're seeing in prices.
Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, a look at the resurgence of the Chicago Loop.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The business group, the Chicago Loop Alliance, says the downtown area is making a comeback. We'll look at what's driving that belief as we talk to Michael Edwards, President and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance. Michael, thank you for joining us today. And I think we've been talking about the state of the Loop, the state of downtown Chicago, since March of 2020, back when it was surreal driving into work once the stay-at-home order went into effect 4 years ago, being the only car on the road and looking down Michigan Avenue at maybe lunch hour during a weekday, and just seeing absolutely desolate sidewalks. What a strange sight that was. And having seen that with my own two eyes, it's just great to dodge tourists on Michigan Avenue or Randolph once again.
Right. Totally agree. Downtown feels like it's coming back, continues to come back every day. It gets a little bit better.
And it seems like a lot of the business community is taking note, because we have been discussing about how there are plans to repurpose some old office buildings, especially in the LaSalle Street Financial Canyon, into apartments. But now we're seeing some rather ambitious office leasing plans, too, increasing their footprint as opposed to downsizing. So it seems like the return to office trend, a lot of businesses are believing in it.
Yes, I think that's true. We've had a number of big wins the last few months. We are expecting a drop in the interest rates, which should alleviate the logjam on some of these buildings that need to be traded at lower values, but would then position them for further redevelopment.
Now, what are you seeing as far as office activity is concerned? Because even though it seems like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are days in which you have the commute of yore, where the trains are crowded and people are just pouring out of the train stations and parking garages and the L. But Monday and Friday are still the work from home days. But I'm starting to notice, especially on Monday, that more people are coming back to work compared to maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, I think I'm seeing the same thing that you're seeing. People want to be back in the office. There's sort of a missing feel for work, and you just can't be mentored from home, and you just can't connect with people from home. And so we're seeing a lot more of that. I would say that a large extent, the folks on the train are younger professionals than maybe they were before the pandemic. So there's a real value to being with other people and learning your craft.
And then when it comes to other activity in the Loop, it seems that whatever rush hour activity that may have disappeared due to work from home trends that persisted after the pandemic, you're really seeing a lot of activity at night and on the weekends. I mean, Chicago comes alive, apparently, after work, at quitting time, it seems.
Yeah, Thursday's the new Friday, and the bars and restaurants are full on Thursdays. And we are just finding that people have shifted how they work. They're getting a little tired of being at home all the time, work and live at home. And so they're experiencing downtown in a new way, which we think is terrific. And Cursed Child just opened up. And so there's some blockbuster live theater downtown. And of course, there's all those summer events we came through. We're really excited about putting together our third quarter report. We think the numbers will just be off the charts.
And it's also interesting. I mean, the Chicago Loop, like all neighborhoods in the city, it's just a constant story of reinvention, very similar to the James Earl Jones monologue in Field of Dreams about how it just moves along like an army of steamrollers erased and then put back into place. But I think it's really true, because for a lot of people who have been around for a long time, seeing a lot of activity downtown at night and on the weekends is almost a foreign concept. I think I told you the story about a former colleague of mine who worked in radio, who would work on Saturday nights and would leave the office. And he said you could land a plane on Michigan Avenue back then. It was that desolate. And now, I mean, it's really hopping. It's on a Saturday night.
Yep, that's absolutely true. We're very pleased about that. We think it's just a new way for people to use their downtown, and it's here for everybody. You know, we still have challenges, but we're working through those, and everybody's sort of rowing in the same direction. We're pleased to be part of that, and we invite people to come back down and experience their city.
Michael Edwards, President and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, an iconic cereal-selling character is back for more.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
One of the most well-known TV commercial characters of all time, who debuted more than 50 years ago, is coming back.
Let's get Mikey. Yeah, he won't eat it. He hates everything. He likes it. Hey, Mikey!
And we're joined by Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach in Chicago. Izzy, thank you for joining us today. Life Cereal bringing back Mikey. They're finding a new Mikey. Yet, Izzy, I thought it'd be kind of interesting to have 50-year-old Mikey come down to say if he still likes Like Cereal after all these years.
Yeah, you know, that's funny, because that's the very first thing that crossed my mind when I heard this. I thought, oh, it'd be great to see what Mikey looks like today. And I'm sure he still loves Life Cereal.
Now, this seems like, I mean, it's a strategy that speaks to, at least to me, the fragmentation of media, that it's so difficult today to find something new that everybody will like or enjoy or even consume or pay attention to, just because there are just so many things out there occupying your time, that you have to go back to these tried and true relics from the so-called monoculture to really break through.
Well, I think that's right. But the other thing is that this is one of those commercials where, you know, Mikey Likes It really entered the lexicon, because my kids, who are only in their mid-20s, every so often, you know, they'll say something and end it with Mikey Likes It. So they don't even know where it comes from, but it's part of the vernacular. And I think they'll like to see, you know, those commercials, and all of a sudden, you know, those synapses will all of a sudden come together.
Now, I will say, though, another challenge for Life Cereal, produced by Quaker, owned by Pepsi, is when Mikey Likes It was coming out, and I can probably name 17, I could probably sing 17 cereal jingles for you right now, just because they were staples of Saturday morning cartoons way back when. But Saturday morning cartoons are another thing that have gone into our media past. They don't exist anymore. So what's the vector today? I mean, are we going to see Mikey Likes It on pre-roll ads on YouTube?
You know, I think we might see it there, but, you know, they will absolutely make their way into different programs that kids are watching. You know, they're seeing everything that's online, and certainly Quaker will figure out a way to, you know, get this in front of kids with all the different things that they watch. Plus, you know, when it hits TV, the parents will start to think about it as well.
And then in your experience in marketing restaurants or food brands, you know, what is the win today? I mean, obviously, you don't have the era of three networks and just these massive distribution systems that we had 50 years ago. But what would be a win for Life Cereal in 2024/25?
Well, I think, you know, bringing this commercial back and, you know, seeing the sales of Life Cereal go up, you know, the ultimate goal of taking up more shelf space. Because as you say, you know, back 50 years ago, we only had three TV, you know, stations you can watch. But think about the competition that Life Cereal had, which was very minimal. And look at the cereal shelves today. So a win is, you know, kind of putting it back out there. We're still here. Mikey still likes it. And we're going to really push that to see our sales go up.
Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the Restaurant Coach in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, the booming business of private space travel.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Reaction comes into the sentencing of the man convicted of murdering a Chicago police officer 3 years ago. California is dealing with a trio of large, fast-growing wildfires. Technology Thursday will explore the growth of commercial spacecraft, sending citizens, private citizens, into orbit. Halloween's still more than a month and a half away, but some people are already getting an early start on Christmas shopping. WBBM Business. The markets are higher. The Dow is up 161 points. The NASDAQ is up 147. The S&P 500 is up 33. We have 85 degrees right now at O'Hare under mostly sunny skies. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, the man who shot and killed Chicago police officer Ella French and critically wounded officer Carlos Yanez Jr. in 2021 has been sentenced. Imante Morgan, who was found guilty in March, will spend life in prison without the possibility of parole. Officer Yanez spoke at yesterday's hearing.
It's difficult, you know, every day, you know, but with all the love and support with my family.
Officer Yanez lost an eye. He walks with a limp. He's been told he may never be able to move the left side of his body again. 16 active wildfires are currently reported in California, putting nearly 6,000 firefighters on the job. CBS's Ben Tracy has the latest from Los Angeles.
It is turning out to be a very active wildfire season here in California, with four times as many acres burned compared to all of last year, and the height of fire season is just getting started.
The bridge fire in the small community of Wrightwood outside of Los Angeles has burned more than a dozen homes. It exploded overnight from 4,000 to 50,000 acres. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are higher. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, MacroTides.com, based in San Diego. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And so far this week, week, at least over the past 2 days. It seems like the equity markets want to defy the laws of gravity. There was a little bit of a sell-off yesterday due to the disappointment on the part of some that we might not get that half a point interest rate cut next week. And ever since then, markets have been moving ever higher.
Well, everyone has been taught to buy the dip, Rob, and that's what we saw, obviously, yesterday. It was triggered, I think, in large part by comments by the CEO of NVIDIA, which he talked about how strong demand is and so forth. So yesterday's rebound was really led by NVIDIA, tech stocks in general. Today we're seeing some catch up with the Russell 2000. From a chart standpoint, my take on Monday was that we would see the S&P make it back to a new all-time high, in part led by a recovery in tech stocks. So far that's playing out. My expectation is prices will work their way a little bit higher, but I think we're coming to a crossroads if that proves correct.
And then we have two reads on inflation. It seems the instant takeaway is no surprises to be found inside the Consumer Price Index and the Producer Price Index.
Yeah, they pretty much came in as expected. And I think really the message from the Federal Reserve over the last 6 months or so, Rob, has been a transition away from inflation being the main focus to looking at the labor market. And we've seen job growth slow. We've seen the unemployment rate tick up a little bit. Some of that is due to more people looking for work. But the Fed's focus is much more on the labor market. And I think that will drive how many rate cuts, the size of rate cuts over the next 3 to 6 months.
And then over the past 2 years, I mean, one of the things that has managed to drive equities through interest rate hikes and a lot of rocky data has been this belief that AI, artificial intelligence, is going to eventually produce productivity gains that will, over the long haul, bring down inflation, bring down costs for businesses. And how far along are we in seeing if that bet is going to actually pay off, and what happens if that hunch that a lot of people are putting trillions of dollars into turns out to be slightly incorrect?
Well, it's a great question, Rob. I think we're in the early innings where people and companies are spending an awful lot of money on AI capability, and yet the return on the dollars invested has so far been pretty meager. So in the short run, people are running on that expectation that things are going to be really improved by AI. Like in all good things, you know, there's periods where things are going swimmingly, and then you face periods where there are dips. I think there will be a dip, Rob, as people start to see, wait a second, we spent all this money, and at some point in time in the next year or so, I think people are going to be a little disenchanted that the return on that investment isn't quite what they expected. So that dip is coming, and it will then result in, I think, a very large decline in some of the leading stocks that are selling based on the hope as opposed to what the reality is likely to manifest in the next couple of years.
Is that how the tech boom of 1999 came crashing down, or at least sputtered to a halt, a situation where there were a lot of very specific bets on what the internet could do to the economy? They did not come true. Interest rates were higher. And when the economy slowed down just a little bit in 2000 going into 2001, it slowed down rapidly.
Yes. Overall, I think what you just said is spot on, Rob. When the economy slows, everybody cuts back a little bit on spending. So if you have companies that are selling at 30 times earnings or higher, you know, their sales are going up 30% or higher every single quarter. Suddenly, they only go up 10 to 15%. For most companies, that'd be great. But for companies that are, you know, that were priced for 30%, it isn't. So when the economy slows materially, which I believe it will between now and the end of next year, I think those stocks are going to definitely come down to earth.
Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, MacroTides.com, based in San Diego. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, we'll talk about the expanding business of taking private citizens into space.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday. The Spacewalk Today by billionaire entrepreneur Jared Isaacman is the latest event in what's a growing business of commercial space travel. We're joined joined by Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And I have to admit, Paul, when SpaceX and Elon Musk announced their plans for an ambitious private space travel or a public-private partnership with NASA over a decade ago, it seemed like you were getting Billy Flynn from Chicago, a billionaire who was giving him the old razzle-dazzle, and maybe a small percentage of these plans would actually come to fruition. Flash forward 14 years, and now you hear that the Kennedy Space Center is the busiest it's ever been as far as rocket launches are concerned, thanks to private space flights and private space travel. And now we're starting to see private citizens go into space. And what's the end game here?
Money. I'm not sure if you're aware. Elon Musk has a lot of it. But it turns out he's made some smart decisions. You're right. The razzle-dazzle's real. Now, as much as, you know, we love to love and hate Elon Musk and his, you know, his attitude and his behavior, he certainly is coming through. And looking specifically at a couple of huge breakthroughs. One is in finance, one's in technology. Finance is now, just to give you a little idea, if you want to send something, anything you want, up in a space, you can make a reservation now in a SpaceX for a SpaceX launch, about $300,000 for a 50-kilogram package, whatever you want, into orbit. Now, the point is that is literally, and then if you go over 50 kilograms, it's $6,000 a kilo. So the point is that it's now a business. I mean, what you want to send up into space and why you want to do it is up to you. But the point is that you can now reserve room on that. And of course, there has been some room left for individuals, as you know from today's spacewalk, which is a breakthrough. But part of the other breakthrough, that's the first one was financial. This one's technology. They have designed suits that average citizens, well, I say average citizens isn't quite right to describe a billionaire, but basically people who have not had tons of training, can go out into space, literally do a spacewalk in a suit, which is so much less bulky than the stuff you've seen in the classic Apollo launches. So huge changes, both in terms of how they treat the money and how they treat the technology.
I'm going to say this. I mean, the SpaceX presentation, how it looks, how the cockpit looks inside the capsule, the touchscreen displays that the astronauts use to navigate and fly the spacecraft, and as you mentioned, the spacesuits themselves, they're very sharp. I mean, it's practical, but it also looks like science fiction. So they do win the public relations battle. But the more often you do this, the more times you send people into space, the more private citizens go up there. And this is something every astronaut has said over the decades, is that the more times you go, eventually there's going to be a fatal incident. And what happens when a private citizen who paid his or her own way up to space dies in flight?
Look, that's a great question, because it is literally an existential question, not only for the individual, but also for the company. In other words, you're going to ask yourself, can SpaceX handle that kind of the PR disaster alone, of course, but then obviously the personal disaster. You know, if I guess, let's put it this way, everybody, there are actuaries out the wazoo at SpaceX. In other words, they're running these numbers. And just as when Tesla designs a vehicle that has new technologies that does or does not have failure rates, everybody is running these numbers. Result, you're absolutely right. The law of large numbers means that probably there's going to be a problem. However, the way they've been testing all this stuff is not unlike the stuff that NASA's been testing, but arguably at a lot lower price point. You know, $300,000 to get 125 pounds or 150 pounds up into space is actually not that much compared to a few years ago when it would have been millions. So the point I'm trying to make is the law of large numbers delivering, yes, possibility of risk, but also lower cost per unit of risk. And so in the end, you know, somebody who's manufacturing a car is contending with the same challenge too. They're developing technology that could hurt somebody. They're trying to keep those risks to a minimum. And what you're seeing right now today is the result of all that thinking.
Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, the advantages of doing your own holiday shopping very early.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Shoppers are expected to spend more this holiday season, and they may be able to save time, hassle, and money by starting now. We're joined by Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter. Jennifer, thank you. thank you for joining us today. If you really do want to get a jump on holiday shopping, I mean a real jump on holiday shopping, you should start today. Now, what does that do for the traditionalists among us who like to go on Christmas Eve and be really panicked?
I was going to say, for people like you who are just always in a panic mode at the end as the holidays approach, you know what? Here's the thing. It is we are expecting to see retail spending grow this year, but the good news is it's not going to grow in the leaps and bounds that it has the last couple 3 years. We're seeing growth in 2-3% range. Dollar wise, it's like this is a Deloitte forecast that it'll be spending of $1.58 trillion with a T to $1.59 trillion. So that, you know, some of that is because of inflation. We still have some higher prices, but we are starting to see prices come down. But more importantly, we are starting to see many retailers, Amazon, Walmart, Target, Best Buy, all go back to, you know, value pricing for their customers. We saw a lot of that with fast foods this summer, for example, and we're going to see a lot of that. So the trick is to just jump on these sales as you see them. Start making those Christmas lists now. I know it seems ridiculous. I mean, we're 2.5 months away from Black Friday yet, but it's a good idea to start thinking about that stuff now. And going to things like Amazon is having another Prime Day in October, for example. So start thinking about that and what you might want to get then. We don't know exactly when the date is in October, but last year they did October 10th and 11th. The year before it was the 11th and the 12th. So it's likely to be around that. And then the other part of that is that you will see Walmart and Target and Best Buy and all those other companies kind of go in with some good deals too, for competitive purposes.
And on top of that, I mean, the one thing I have learned having three kids at home is that time horizons are a lot longer than they used to be or a lot shorter. If you want to start talking about summer camp, you have the conversation in January. If you want to talk about Christmas presents, have the conversation in August, because big events have a tendency to sneak up on you. So it's better to be ahead of the game. But the one idea I thought, like, maybe if you want to start your Christmas shopping now, do all of the traditions in late September. It's 85 degrees right now under mostly sunny skies. Go to the Walnut Room, get yourself a piping hot pot pie, and just do all the Christmas stuff right now.
So you can beat the crowds. You could get your Christmas lights up too right now, and then you won't have to worry about doing it when it's cold and windy and rainy. But there are some other things you can do. I mean, in terms of looking for sales, one of the sites that I go to a lot, it's called TomsGuide.com, and they will put deals anywhere, you know, from all different kinds of retailers on their site. You can go to sites like that and look for good deals too. Now, as you're thinking, you know, right after you have your lunch at the Walnut Room.
Now I'm going to stand in Daly Plaza until somebody hands me a glue wine. Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter, thank you for joining us today. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the
the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.